I want to talk about the Sabbath. And, you know, and there's a lot of people, and I'm on the other end of my professional career. I'm getting older, and there's a lot of retirees and people, that are here at the chapel. But I think there's a message for all of us, and I think there's a message specifically for young people. And I want to kind of share this for people who are going into the work world or are in the work world and just trying to prioritize things. So this is perhaps for you. Because I wish I had, you know, one of the things that people do on the internet is that they go back and they think about their lives and wish that someone had told them something years ago when they started. This is probably one of those kind of moments for me. Is I wish someone had told me this, you know, when I was starting out in the work world and professionally and things. So I'm going to talk about the Sabbath. But before we start, let me just commit our time to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for these wonderful saints at Bethel. And I just thank you for the work that continues even now in lives and in homes and in communities and at school because of the people here. In this building and online, I just thank you for the work that you are doing in the world because of people, ordinary, God-fearing, Jesus-loving people. And I just thank you for these saints. And I just pray that you'd bless and lead me through your Holy Spirit as I would just seek to share some of these thoughts so that it would just help us and encourage us and shape us to be more like the Lord Jesus and the people that you want us to be. So we just commit this time now and thank you for all your goodness. And we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. All right. Now, I'm going to talk about a day of rest. So I'm saying the Sabbath, but please, I'm not a Seventh-day Adventist. I'm not trying to change anything. I just want to try to think about a day of rest and why it's important. Dennis and I were talking earlier, just downstairs, about just the work world and the demands of the work world and trying to get ahead in the work world professionally and in organizations now. It's so hard. It's not easy. It's never been easy. And, you know, we're going into a recession and, you know, jobs might become harder to get. And now it's like jobs are plenty, but you're going to start out and you're competing against other people. There's a lot of pressure professionally for people and Christians especially. But the Lord provides a helpful guidepost in the Sabbath that I think is really helpful for us. So I want to talk about that. If I can change my screen. Let's see if this works. Ah, okay. This is a headline from the BBC in 2016, and the headline was, "Can you work yourself to death?" Okay? Death by overwork. And I think Japan has really kind of made this kind of a thing because they have a name for it. It's called karoshi. And I'll just read this. A typical case of karoshi goes something like this. And this is an individual that they covered. Kenji Hamada was an employee at a Tokyo-based security company with a devoted young wife and a formidable work ethic. And this is what his work ethic was like. His typical week involved 15-hour days and a grueling 4-hour commute. And sometimes we just think about work in terms of just work, but we don't think about the commuting and all these sort of other things, but they add up. And then one day he was found slumped over his desk, and his colleagues just assumed that he was asleep. But when he hadn't moved for several hours, they realized that he was dead. He had died of a heart attack at the age of 42. And interestingly, you know, this is not just true for Japan. It's prevalent in China. You know, all those cheap products at Walmart don't get there, you know, because out of overnight, a lot of people are working, you know, and doing hard days and long days to get things, you know, for us here, I guess. But interestingly, it's not even China isn't the has the highest work week hours now even. That title belongs to Mexico. Mexico now has the longest work week on average. And, you know, as Christians, we extol work. Hard work is something we value and we extol and we say is important. As Christians, we need to work hard. But there's a temptation to just go along with the world's perspectives on these things. And so, what's God's answer to it? And, you know, God's answer was a day of rest, the Sabbath. And the word Sabbath comes from the Hebrew word Shabbat, which means to cease or to rest from labor. And, you know, the first instance of the use of the word Sabbath was actually not in the Ten Commandments. We know that that's a commandment, but it actually happened just a little bit before. And it's in Exodus 16:22. And here's what it says. And it had to do with the manna in the wilderness. You remember, they were in the wilderness and they didn't have food, and God provided manna from heaven for the people of Israel in the wilderness. And here's what it says. And so it was on the sixth day. So they were supposed to gather the manna. The manna would come every day, and they would gather for that day what they needed. And if they tried to take extra and keep it for longer than the day, it would stink, and there would be worms, and just take what you needed for that day, you know, was God's answer. I'll provide. And so it was, though, on the sixth day that they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. Then he said to them, "This is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today, and boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourself all that remains to be kept until morning." So they laid up till morning, as Moses commanded, and it did not stink, nor was there any worms in it. Then Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none. So what he's essentially saying is, for 5 days I'll provide every day for that day, and then on the sixth day you'll actually take for 2 days. But if you went out and were looking for it on the seventh day, or if you were going to go work on the seventh day, you know, don't expect to be blessed, because God wasn't going to be in it. Because he had provided already the day before, right? On the sixth day. That was the provision. So that you could have a seventh day of rest, or a day of rest. Now it happened that some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, "How long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore he gives you on the sixth day bread for 2 days. Let every man remain in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day." So the people rested on the seventh day. So here's just two things I want to make mention. First, it was a holy Sabbath. And it was holy to the Lord. So holy is the idea that it's set apart. Right? So one day in the week was set apart to the Lord. The second point is, this was given by the Lord. The Lord has given you the Sabbath. Okay? It's set apart to the Lord, and it is also given from the Lord. So we should take that consideration to heart. Okay? There's a reason why God is doing this. Okay. I'm going to make 3 points today about a day of rest. One is, it was a commandment. Two is that it was intended to be a witness. And three, it was intended to be a blessing. So it was a commandment, it was intended to be a witness, and it was intended to be a blessing. So here's the first one. It's in the Ten Commandments. It's in Exodus 20, and you can read it, and it's the fourth commandment. And here's what it says. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Okay. Do you know it is the longest commandment? Of all the commandments, which one would you think would be the longest one? It wouldn't be, remember the Sabbath, probably. Right? Why? Why? It's funny that it also starts with the word remember. Because it is easy for us to forget. We are so prone to be caught up in our own lives, in our own pursuits, in our own sort of ambitions, that we need to remember and be reminded, because we are so prone to forget and not prioritize sometimes the things that the Lord prioritizes. Okay? It's the longest one. It comes in at number 4 before murder, before adultery, all of those things. Now, interestingly, it was also something that came with a death penalty. Murder had a consequence of death. You know, adultery did too. The Sabbath? Really? Remember the Sabbath? It had a death penalty. I'm going to read it from Exodus 31. Let me read Exodus 31:14. You shall keep the Sabbath because it is holy for you. And here's what it says. Everyone who profanes it shall be put to death. And there's only one other, there was another command that was guilty of death too, which was to rebellion against your parents. So there was these four, you know, there's four at least, you know, things that were guilty of death. But the Sabbath? Really? But it's interesting what he says. He says, and you, when you profane the Sabbath, okay, what does the word profane mean? Huh? It means to defile. To defile something that is important, that is set apart maybe. It is to make common. Okay? And you think about murder. You know, we talk about the sanctity of life. We talk about the sanctity of marriage. You know? We talk about the sanctity of work even. Right? And work is important too. But it's interesting. You know, you can make life about just biology. And the world does that in some sense. But the Bible says life is significant and important because God has something to say about life. And life is valuable to God and should be valuable to us. Right? Science and technology will just make it all about biology. Evolution will just make it all about biology. Right? Be careful about taking something that is special and make it common or just ordinary. You know, marriage is special. It's a mystery in some sense, right? Like it's about the church and Christ and, you know, the uniqueness of marriage is important. But we can treat it like a contract, like a, you know, like just something that we do. It's ordinary. Be careful about making things that are significant, insignificant. Profaning these things, right? And he says that about the Sabbath. And the interesting thing about the Sabbath is, it's the one thing that you offer to God by not doing something. It's not like God is asking you to do something. It's God is asking you not to do something. And yet we struggle with that, right? And I think what's special about it is when you actually choose not to work on a day, you're making it hallowed. You're not making it secular. You're not making it just another day in your week that you work and you labor and you toil. You are setting apart one day in a week to be special and for the Lord. And in that sense, you sanctify it. It has an origin, and it says that the origin is when God created, you know, in the garden. And we hear about all the things that he spoke into creation. It says when God rested, you know, on the seventh day. And it's interesting. It's this word, you know, I'm not going to pronounce the Hebrew. You can see it in there. There's only two instances of that word rested. And the other instance is in Joshua 5 when the people are going into the land, the promised land. And for all that time that God had promised and provided manna, it was going to stop. And the day that it stopped, it says, and the manna ceased that day because they had gone into the promised land, and it says that they ate of the produce of that land. Right? And once they were able to eat of the produce of that promised land and they were in it, the manna ceased. And this is the only point I want to make about this. Just like God rested on the seventh day and God stopped the manna, they were both very intentional things. Okay. Taking a day of rest should be a very intentional thing. You're not just passively doing this. And, you know, so much of life is just a blur. Like, if you work constantly, if you know what it's like, and you got a job that is demanding, and it's one thing to even be off from work, but shutting down is a whole other thing. Shutting down your mind, shutting down all these sort of things that you think about, it's not always easy. So you need to make an intentional effort to set a day apart for the Lord and keeping something holy in your week. Otherwise, it just, like think about COVID. And how things just have blurred and blended, and you've gone through the last 2 years, you know, and it's all just a haze sometimes, right? The Lord says, make something special in your week. It's important. It's a commandment. It's serious, okay? That's the first point I want to make. The second point I want to make is that it was intended to be a witness or a testimony. So this is in Exodus 31 and verse 12. And it says, and the Lord said to Moses, you are to speak to the people of Israel and say, above all, you shall keep my Sabbaths. For this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you. You shall keep the Sabbath because it is holy for you. Everyone who profanes it shall be put to death. Whoever does any work on it, that soul shall be cut off from among the people. 6 days you shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of holy rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall be put to death. Therefore the people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath throughout their generations as a covenant forever. It is a sign forever between me and the people of Israel, that in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Okay? It was meant to be a testimony. Okay. A testimony to you first. and then to your families and your generations. If you are working 7 days a week and you're not able to take one day off, I'm going to suggest that you are missing something or you're lacking something. If you're working 7 days a week, you are lacking faith in God. You are lacking trust in God. Because what you're saying is, I'm going to just have to do it on my own. I'm going to have to look after all of these things. Right? If you're working constantly and you don't have one day that you want to set apart or can set apart as holy for the Lord, it's because you really think life is just so hard and so difficult and so bad that I got to do it all on my own. Okay? Because, and I, you know, you think about Daniel when he went to Babylon and he chose not to eat of the meat. Sometimes in the math of the spiritual, less is more. Okay? And so Daniel did not eat of the meat. Instead, he ate a different diet, and he was blessed, right? Giving the first fruits, giving the best to God, right? You know, we live in a world that doesn't understand giving thanks for food. Isn't it your money? Didn't you work for that? Why do you want to give thanks to God, right, for your food? You know, think about tithing. I think tithing is a perfect example. And the saying is, 90% with the Lord is better than 100% without the Lord. Right? 90% with the Lord is better than 100% without. It is a testimony. If you trust the Lord, right, to give up one day where you spare it from the secular, the work, the toil, you know, the challenge of work, and just give something to the Lord. Do nothing. Do something creative. You know, what you do on that day, you know, is up to you. But what you don't do on that day may be just as important. So it's a testimony to you. When you live your life surrendering some of these things, it's amazing how God does wonderful things. When you sacrifice something like that and you give it back, and then your children get to see, you know, how good God is. You think about the nation of Israel. You think about the Jewish people. And the Sabbath is a big deal, you know, to Jewish people. You know, they've been pretty successful. You know, God has blessed them. And the Shabbat is one of those things that they hold up. And it was intended to be a testimony. You think about, you know, the Jewish people were, you know, they were good in commerce and business and all these things in the, you know, at that time. And, you know, people would want to do business with them and they would do business. But, you know, the Sabbath came along. And someone might have said, hey, let's do this deal. Let's, you know, I'm going to buy this land or something from you. And it's the Sabbath. And he goes, I can't do it today. Right? And he goes, and the other guy goes, why? It's the Sabbath. Because it's my day of rest. It's the day that is set apart for God. And they go, what God? And then they would say, the true and living God, the God of Israel. Right? How many of us, you know, don't surrender, and then don't get the benefit sometimes, you know, of these blessings because we just choose to just get caught up in the same race as everyone else. Okay? It's meant to be a testimony. And I just kind of shared the other examples as well. You know, I'm going to see if I, okay, this is the next part. This is the last part. It was meant to be a blessing. Exodus 20:11 says, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Exodus 31:17 says this: It is a sign forever between me and the people of Israel that in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Why in the world does the eternal God, or how in the world does the eternal God get refreshed? And you know that word for refreshed is the Jewish word for breath. And you remember in those 6 days of creation, what did he do? How did he create? He spoke. He breathed out. And he created. But on the seventh day, he was refreshed because he breathed in. And you can, do you ever just go, and you ever say to yourself, I just wish I could catch my breath? Like life is just a toil and it's just work, and I just wish I could just stop and get off the treadmill and just catch my breath for a second. The Lord says, yeah, you do need to do that. So you can be refreshed. Right? God may need to get your attention. And, you know, there are some people who are just working, literally working themselves to death. But, you know, you may not die right away. But lots of things in your life may die if you work yourself like that and you don't give time to be refreshed with the Lord. Your relationships could die. You know? Your relationship with your spouse can die. Your relationship with your children can die. But you may not literally, physically die, but lots of things can die nonetheless. There will be consequences potentially, right? You think about the Jubilee year, right? There was a time when they were, you know, you worked and worked, but then there was a time that they were supposed to set apart, 1 year, and the land was supposed to remain, you know, unused, fallowed. And the Jewish people didn't do it. You remember what eventually happened? The Lord had to send them into captivity so that the land would rest. Don't think you can just do some of these things without consequences. There are consequences. And it's in our interest. Like really, it is meant to be a blessing. And when we read these portions, I'm just going to finish off by reading these portions in the New Testament where the Lord addresses this. Because you know, the Pharisees and all these people came to him with all these sort of questions about it, and they were trying to trap him and stuff. And I'm just going to read these two passages and how the Lord addresses it. Mark 2 and verse 23 to 27. One Sabbath, he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees were saying to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry, he and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any, but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him?" And he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So that the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." The Sabbath was not meant to be a burden. It was meant to be a blessing. Luke 14, and I'm just going to read this really quick. Luke 14, verses 1 to 6. One Sabbath, when he went to dine at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, they were watching him carefully. And behold, there was a man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus responded to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? But they remained silent. And he took him and healed him and sent him away. And he said to them, Which of you, having a son or an ox that hath fallen into a well on the Sabbath day, will not immediately pull him out? And they could not reply to these things. My message in this is not to guilt you or to make you feel, you know, I'm not saying the Sabbath has to be on the Saturday or on Sunday or whatever. I'm not a Hebrew scholar. All I'm just saying is, maybe it's in our interest to take one day in the week and set it apart, set it aside for the Lord so that we can be blessed. That's, I think, good advice. And if you're out of the workforce, you probably have people that you know. Maybe it's children, maybe it's other people struggling to just make their way ahead. And it is such a trap and so easy to just constantly forget the Lord, forget a day, to make something special in your week, to celebrate what the Lord has done in your week, in providing you a job, providing you work, providing you health. There are so many things that we can be thankful for at the end of a week that we can say, thank you, Lord. You have been so good, so, so good to us. And so that's what I wanted to share about the Sabbath, a day of rest. I pray that the Lord will bless you today on a Sunday, you know, a day of rest. May the Lord just keep you and help you and bless you all. I thank the Lord for each one of you. Let's just commit close our time in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for your provisions in your word. And right from the beginning, Lord, from creation to this day, you have wanted the best for us. And you've reminded us that there are things in life that are precious, that are beyond the logic and the perspective of this material world that is spiritual. Help us to live in the truth of those spiritual realities every day, Lord. And help us who are in the workplace and in the work world to be a testimony and a light when we work and when we don't work, Lord. Help us to be light and salt in a dark world. I just pray for each of the saints that are gathered here, each individual and each family that is represented, Lord. You know all our needs. I just pray that through your Holy Spirit and through your word and through the saints, you will encourage and strengthen and help each one of them, Lord. Bless them, I pray. I just thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who has made the way, who has made us sons and daughters, who has set us apart for himself. And we just pray and we thank you that he would be honored in our lives. And so we just give you thanks for him now. In Jesus' name, amen.